Welcome back to What's Next with Eric Wood. We have Dan Oliver, the owner and founder of Dan-O Seasoning, back on the podcast. If you didn't listen to his story on episode 84, go back and check that out. But we're going to have a lot of fun on this one. We're going to learn a lot. Dan, welcome back on the podcast, brother.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be here, man.
And now this time I come in as a business partner. I was so inspired by your story and your work ethic the last time I chose to invest. You allowed me to invest in Dan-O's. It's been a fun ride these last couple of years, so I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. It's, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today if it, of course, the work ethic, right? But if it wasn't for you, you know, we're at a point where we needed some money, and you were the guy that came in and you saw the vision with us, and so we appreciate that.
Yeah, we talked about it last time. Kobe Bryant, listened to him talk about investing one time. He said, invest in people that are obsessed with their product and they don't have a fallback plan. When I met you, you had both those criteria. You were a little further along than the startup phase. It's easy to invest in a company that's already doing well, has a great team, but to see what it's done over these last couple of years has been awesome. And for that, the recognition you got recently, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. What did that mean to you to get that?
Dude, it's a very humbling. It's just awesome. What it really means, yes, it is Entrepreneur of the Year, but you can't just go out there and win an Entrepreneur of the Year award without an awesome team behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if it wasn't for your investment and, you know, us always investing, reinvesting back into our team, you know, and just building this brand to be something more than just another seasoning company, you know, it's almost like a lifestyle. It's like we're all so passionate about what we do, and we try and build that culture within the business. So just the fact that, like, you know, we have this awesome team and we all see the one dream, the one vision, it's just, it's amazing. And of course, you know, yeah, as an Entrepreneur of the Year, it's about, you know, the entrepreneurship. But, you know, like I said, you can't do it without an awesome team. And speaking on the whole Plan B thing, you know, having a, you know, the reason why you invested in Dan-O's was because there never was a Plan B.
Right.
It was sink or swim. And that's what happened with COVID when it came along. And I was like, well, I can't do my shows, can't make the money the way I used to. So now I got to figure out this new way to do it. And it was all social media. And, you know, we blew up and I made the right partnerships with Phil Crosby. And then you came along and then we needed a few more investors. And I think to speak on the Entrepreneurship of the Year award, like, the reason why I won it is because I have made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not just having a great product. To be successful, you have to make the right decisions, the right partnerships, bring the right people in. So, you know, it's an amazing, humbling feeling that I got to go up on stage and tell people a little bit about my story.
Yeah, really, really cool. You talked about, and we talked about in the previous episode on the podcast that the social media content built the brand. It built the awareness that's allowed it to now be in 30-something thousand retail stores and be one of the top seasoning companies now. And there's so many people out there that would say, man, I would love to do cooking videos for a living. Man, how great would that be? Instead of working my normal job, I'd so much rather do that. But people don't understand the work that goes into it. So I have a few questions on this. Number one, how much of a grind is it to constantly be filming, constantly be on every day as you're filming this content?
The grind is more in coming up with the ideas of what I'm going to do, because we're only 6 months into the year and we've already shot over 400 videos.
Why
not? 400, right. So we've already shot more videos than there is days in the year. So the challenge is not just making the content, but coming up with the right ideas to, you know, not just keep doing the same old thing, to always be creative. And the grind, I mean, it is real. There's days that I don't feel like being in front of a camera, but, you know, everybody always jokes around. They're like, well, you're just different when the camera turns on, because I can be having a, you know, I'm not motivated today, but then when the camera comes on, I don't know, I reach down and I find a way to put the smile on my face and get into the videos. And then, you know, once I get into it, it's my passion. I do what I love to do.
Yeah. So making those recipes, coming up with the new ideas, what's the process? Is that a collaborative effort? Is that you researching, going to the grocery? What's that look like?
Well, there's four of us in the creative development part of Dan-O's, the video strategy and whatnot. So within a group of four or five of us, plus anybody else on the team, this is all a team effort. Like, we're always listening. If somebody's got an idea, if somebody, I don't care if they're in accounting, if they're like, hey, I saw this video, this is pretty interesting, you can do that. And I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. Like, share with us the ideas, because it's easy. There's billions of recipes that you can come up with, but if there's anything out there that somebody can contribute and say, hey, you should try this, like, I'm always an open book. I'll look at it and I'll give it a try.
When we collabed on one of the failures that we would say would be the Christmas tree wreath.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll be, one of my favorite things about our videos is in the videos that you create, you're honest. Like, you don't always say, like, wow, that one's damn good. Some of them aren't damn good. And we blame the canned chicken. What are they called? Watercress?
Water chestnuts.
Those, I think those affected it too. But yeah, we had some fun with that one. How hard is it to not put on weight as you're constantly making these videos? Most of the stuff's incredible. You can throw Danos on about anything and it's going to taste good. How hard is it to keep the weight off?
Well, I get on the treadmill every once in a while. I would thank my mom and dad for the good genetics. And so, you know, I can say this, I used to work out a lot more than I have been currently. I've just been so consumed with the business and everything going on. But I guess, you know, at the end of the day, the cool thing about Danos is it is a healthy product. It's not packed full of salt. There's no sugar in it. That's the beautiful thing about it. So anybody on a diet, Danos is perfect for you. You know what I mean? That's the beautiful thing about Danos. Go back to the whole thing about Entrepreneur of the Year and this stuff and, you know, why I never had a plan B. Ever since I had the aha moment, everything made sense to me. It's like, okay, I developed this product because of the flavor. That's why it started. But then as I got into the development of it, and I'm like, oh, this can change people's lives because it's actually healthy.
Right.
The not packed full of salt, the no sugar, the no chemicals. So it just, everything about Danos has just made sense from day one. It's just like, they just, all the stars were like aligned. And that's why I never had a plan B and also never gave up.
Yeah, and I'm sure glad you didn't. So with the growth of Danos, you've got to have some really awesome experiences over these last couple of years, since we recorded last time especially. If you think back on sponsoring NASCAR races and sponsoring a Triple Crown hopeful and walking them out to the track, when you think back at those experiences, do you have a favorite one?
Man, I'll tell you, the first time we sponsored Spencer Roy down at Daytona, and the first time that truck came around, when it was, you know, full, you know, we saw them, that was one thing. But when they came by and we're five rows from the track, and it was just like blowing your hair back, even though I didn't have any hair at the time. But, you know, it was a feeling that was, I'll never forget. Like, you know, I was crying. I had glasses on, but like, I had tears running down my face because it just like, it took my breath away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was cool to see the Danos. It's like, man, like, I've worked so hard to get to like this opportunity to make this partnership with Phil Crosby, and this was before we had even met, and just to see that truck go by with the Danos name on it, like, it was breathtaking. It was very cool.
Was that a cooler experience than watching the Bengals beat the Bills in the playoffs this year? He brought you up to the
Now, that was awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that I've lived my whole life and never got to see the Bengals win a playoff game, and then, you know, the way that I got to experience it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you had that moment. It wasn't quite as fun for me calling the Bills loss, but I appreciated how much that you and Brandon, everyone else that went up with us, enjoyed that moment. With the growth of Danos, again, you mentioned earlier, it's all about the team. You wouldn't be here without the team around you. There's no way you could possibly build something to this magnitude without the team. How hard is it to constantly identify new team members? You know, everyone will tell you right now, it's so hard to hire people. It's so hard to find the right people. How hard has it been to build this team?
It's been very difficult. You know, we're always looking for somebody that can help us gain a creative, competitive advantage. You know, we want to win. And so we're always, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. So we're always looking for the next best person to, you know, we have several job openings now, but I posted it on Facebook that, hey, there's job openings, and my phone blew up. Everybody's like, oh, I'm your guy. And I'm like, whoa, I need to delete this because I'm not the guy that's doing the hiring.
Right.
You know what I mean? We are going to pick the best person for the job. You know, when I was first starting out with Danos and me and Phil first made our partnership and we were growing, it was like, oh, you know, I know a guy that does this really well. You know, Phil's like, bring him in. We'll talk to him. We don't need to see their resume. We'll know if they're a good person. Well, now it gets a little deeper because we, as the business has evolved, it gets more detailed. Like, we need somebody that can do exactly this. And so we don't need somebody that's going to come in and work or wing it. We need somebody that can knows how to do what exactly we need to done because, get done because we're so specific and detailed in everything that we do now. You know what I mean?
There are so many entrepreneurs that look up to you based upon the success of Danos, how you grew it organically, and it's a current model. It's this newer age, the social media content, the sponsorships, the getting yourself out there. So there's going to be so many entrepreneurs listening into this. What's one business lesson through this tremendous growth? And early on, we talked about in the last episode, it was getting in content. It was, you know, shifting from going to trade shows to then selling online because no one's going to trade shows and people are hardly even going to the grocery store during the pandemic. Well, we're out of the pandemic. What's one business lesson over these last couple of years that sticks out to you?
Man, you know, when we're selling, when we first started to blow up, everything was online.
Yep.
Right. And so then we're like, well, let's, you know, as we're trying to build this business, you know, my vision from the day one was like nationwide, worldwide Danos. Like, I want to have this everywhere on every kitchen table across the country. So our biggest transition was to start getting into the Krogers and the Walmarts of the world. And so I guess as we made this transition from all of our sales being online to trying to push everybody out into retail, there was a lot of mistakes and growing pains, you know, because we're basically pioneering something from an online, because most CPG brands, which is consumer packaged goods, which is what Danos is, start out with probably investors and start out with money and they start out in retail and then maybe they sell a little bit online, as to where we were this company that blew up online and then we changed over to retail. So I guess the big, you know, not, I could go back into the beginning of Danos and tell you all kinds of different stories, but I guess what you really want to know is like transitioning from being online only to retail. There was just a lot of mistakes and a lot of learning curves. And, you know, we talked to a lot of consultants and just to figure out how to take something from being successful to being like ultra successful and going into all these retailers is just a lot of learning curves. I can't really necessarily like put my finger on one to tell you about, but it was just the fact that we're in retail now for over a year and a half. And like, we're going in a new one every other day. It seems like it's awesome.
Yeah, and when you make a mistake, that's fine. Like, failures happen all the time. It's not stopping. Okay, we made that mistake. Okay, let's quit it. Shift immediately. Let's not double down on this mistake. And I've seen that from the back end and being a part of it over these last couple of years. It's, you know,
learn
constantly. Don't be afraid to fail.
Right.
And kind of piggybacking on that, for entrepreneurs that are starting a business right now in the startup stage, so you said, hey, I could have some advice for those that are in the startup stage.
Yeah.
What would be some, you know, a couple things you could give you've given keynotes on this before.
Right.
But what would be a couple of the main things for those entrepreneurs that are starting a business and now in this current business environment, what advice would you have for them?
Man, you got to have a great product, or at least believe that you do. You know, you got to have the product. And then, other than the product, you have to know how to reach people. You know, not everybody has a name or a great name. Like, Danos was a great name. I was like, it made sense, but it is my name and I am the product. So like, I'm able to get on TV or get on in front of the cameras and do what I do. Maybe not everybody's good at that, but you have to be able to figure out, well, how can I somehow get in front of people? Does it have to be social media? Can you figure that out? Like, how can I get this product in front of people? You know, for me, it was going to trade shows. now that they're not trade shows, but flea markets, festivals, state fairs, anywhere where there was 5,000 to 10,000 people walking around on a weekend, I knew that I could go sell $5,000 worth of product. So don't be afraid. That's how you're going to know if you have a good product and if you have a good sales pitch, is go out there and try and sell it to people at a flea market, you know, especially if you have a consumer packaged product. Go out there, spend $150 and see how much you can sell at a flea market. If you can sell more than you set your goal, well, you might be on to something. And because that's what I did. My very first flea market, I so told myself I was going to do $1,000 in sales, and I did almost 4,000. So I was like, this is it. I can quit my job bartending, and I can just travel around and do these festivals, flea markets, whatever. So I was just, you know, I was looking for flea markets in Nashville, anywhere close by that I could get to in a couple hours, and go knock these flea markets out. And that's how I was able to get my product out there in front of people. And then, of course, the social media came. But to go back to your, you know, how would I give people advice also is, when you start a business like Dano's, like everything can seem very overwhelming, but really it's just a process of figuring out, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. And as you just knock them out one at a time, eventually, like, it'll just all come together. And that's what I did. I started the business in January. The idea was January 2015. I started the business in April 2015, and I didn't sell a product till 2016. So at the end of 2015, I had a registered business that I had to pay taxes on. You know, I heard Mark Cuban say something on Shark Tank once before, and he's like, you know, if you have the idea and you have the vision, just start the business and then figure out how to get it going. And that's exactly what I did. Not going off of base of what he said, that's what I did. I was like, oh, here's my idea. Then I started the business, then I figured it out. You know what I mean? And that's probably the number one thing I tell to people that want to start a business, is learn how to be resourceful. You know, going back, you know, me and you joke around about this before, that, you know, you were the only kid in high school that was living in an apartment.
Right.
Well, I graduated 244 out of 246 my senior year, barely graduated high school. And there was one thing that I was always really good at, is I could figure out how to do anything. I was just very resourceful. So that's the number one thing about being an entrepreneur, is learn how to be resourceful.
Yep. There's a lot of good lessons there. There's going to be a season of grind. You know, you're going to have to do things maybe you don't want to do. We play a little bit of golf together now, but I would imagine there was a period of time where you never played golf, because this is a season of grind, and you're still in that season. You're definitely not out of it, but man, there were seasons where, man, I'm all in on this. I have to be all in. And then probably my favorite thing you said, and I hear this fairly often, is there's a lot of successful business ideas, successful podcasts, whatever it may be, but everyone's trying to make it perfect before they even start. Get started. Figure it out. You don't have to be perfect. If you're waiting for it to be perfect, then you'll never release it, because there's still things that you're learning about Dano's. There's still mistakes that we make on a monthly basis, and we say, hey, we're going to scratch this. Hey, we're not going to do this product development. We're actually going in this direction. That's not working at this time. And so there's so many people out there that are just afraid to get going. And you know, when I think back to my story, there were seasons where I missed parties, I missed weddings. I mean, I can't tell you how many weddings of buddies when I was in my 20s and early 30s playing football. You know, there's 5 months that I can't make any weddings. And then even in the off season, there was bachelor parties and whatnot that I just couldn't make. I can make a lot of them now, and I have some financial security, and I have a little bit more time on my hands because of that time of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask you this. I love when my buddy Ed Mylett asked this. Was that time of, you know, running the business out of your house and all of that, and I think I know the answer to this, but was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like I said earlier, that, you know, everything, all the stars were aligned to, like, be successful. Now, did I have to grind? Did I shed a few tears not knowing if it was going to work? Yes, that absolutely happened. And but I never gave up, because I knew the product was great. I knew the branding was great. I knew that I was, you know, ever since I was a little kid, that I always had this vision that I was going to do something big. And I knew that this was my opportunity. Like, I had tons of other little ideas early on in my life, but I was like, yeah, it's a great idea. But that's not it. It's not it. It's not it. And then bam, Danos hit me and I was like, that's it. That's the one that I'm sinking my teeth into and I'm running full speed. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give up on it. And that's where, you know, the grind, it was difficult, man. I remember it'd be a Wednesday or a Thursday and I'm like, I got to get all my stuff packed up into this truck and go to Nashville. And I really don't want to do it. But guess what? I got $10 in my bank account and a full tank of gas, and that's all I got. And I got a bunch of Danos I got to go sell.
Right.
So I can come back and pay these bills to these vendors to get my next batch of Danos, or else it's not going to work. And so, like, I had to literally, like, pick myself up and, like, drag myself to get all these boxes, get my truck loaded up, and pack it to the rim with Danos where I can't fit another thing in the vehicle. You know, there was literally a time that I'd be like, oh, there's a spot. I'll put another case in there. Because I knew I was probably had a good chance of selling it.
Yep.
I wanted to take as much as I possibly could. But, yeah, man, the grind was real and it was worth it. You know, now that that's past, yeah, it was 100% worth it.
Yeah, I have the same feelings about it. There was times, even in my NFL career, where I'd break my leg my rookie year and I do my ACL in my third year and I'm hurt my first 4 years in the league. You know, when everyone spends the offseason traveling, all four of those offseasons, my first four of the league, I didn't have an offseason. I went straight to rehabbing because I got operated on all 4 years. So you go straight into rehab. Then you're back at OTAs. Then you get 4 or 5 weeks off to train, you know, wherever you want. And then the season hits again. And so a lot of that time sucked. It did. You know, my wife would even attest to that. Like, there was – it was tough on her constantly taking care of me. And then, you know, you had a child in the mix eventually and all that. There's a lot on your plate, but now I would say it's 100% worth it. And I get to invest in companies like this. I get to play golf and take trips. And people see that on social media now and say, well, you know, Eric gets to, you know, play his dream golf course or whatever it may be. It's like, man, there was times where I wanted to quit and wouldn't have got here, but it's 100% worth it.
Right. You could have played 2 years and given up and been done. Had a little bit of money, but it wouldn't be the same as if you didn't not stop and keep working to get better and better. And then you had several successful seasons where you never had an injury.
Right.
Like, I remember you telling me that the injury that ended it for you was you were the only player on the team the whole year, a whole year long on offense that was in for every snap. And
the only player on the entire team, one of only a few in the league that played every single snap that year, and then my career is over. And so – and then there was injury, you know, the year before that in 2016, I broke my leg again, my other leg on Monday Night Football. And that offseason sucked.
Right.
You know, it's like, and at that point, we have a daughter already. And now my wife's taking care of me. She got to fly back up to Buffalo because we were heading into the bye week. Mm-hmm. Break my leg in Seattle. We got to fly 6 hours through the night after Monday Night Football. Well, now I have to go into surgery. Well, we're heading into the bye week. So my wife was already back in Louisville with our daughter. So now she's got to set up childcare in Louisville. She's got to fly to Buffalo to take care of me. Then we got to fly back to Louisville. I mean, it was a mess. But
well,
I say all that, it was worth it. You know, you get to live out your dream. And eventually, and the good times were great. But ultimately, you know, you grind and you get through things. And then all of a sudden, you have generational wealth for your family that I would have never had I not grinded through those times on a football field. I'm not the smartest, you know, I probably wasn't going to get into business and, you know, maybe I could have, you know, bootstrapped something like this and maybe made it work one day,
mm-hmm.
but that's likely, that's pretty unlikely. So for me, it required that grind. And so let's switch subjects a little bit. Danos is developing new products constantly, and it's been fun to be a part of. The tasting sessions, when we get together and cook and try the new products, those are some of my favorite days. Being a former lineman, I can still eat with the best of them.
Yeah.
But what's coming down the line with Danos? So Originals the first, then spicy, then chipotle, then cheesening, then crunchy.
Yeah.
And then cheesening. What's coming down the line now?
We have a black steak seasoning that we're working on, and it's not just a normal black steak seasoning. You know, what I saw, Danos Original, Danos Spicy, Danos Chipotle, Danos Crunchy is all amazing on a steak. But I wanted to make something that I see that people using. Like, everybody's like, SPG, salt, pepper, garlic. And I'm like, I want to make a salt, pepper, garlic that's on the next level. So I made this black seasoning that's got black pepper, black salt, black garlic, and then some other little ingredients in there that just take it to the next level. I've been working on it for over a year. I've got it dialed in, so we're getting ready to package that and release it hopefully in the next 3 months or so. And because it really takes a lot of time. You know, there's one thing with me. I'm not going to put my name on something if I don't believe that it's absolute best. If I'm going to make a steak seasoning, I'm making the best steak seasoning there is. Well, at least in my opinion. If you like my palate, if you like Dano's, well, you're going to love my steak seasoning. You know what I mean? So there's been over a year's worth of work put into this, and now we're finally, like, to the point to where we're like, we got a name picked out. We got flavor profiles finally done. So now we got to focus on the marketing side. So that's the next product. And then we have a Fiesta taco blend, a chili blend. You can call the Fiesta and the taco kind of falls in the same category. We got the chili lime that I've been working on for a while. There's a fish seasoning that I got. So, and there, you know, I got some barbecue stuff. I got all kinds of different recipes. I mean, probably 15 of them in the wheelhouse. It's just figuring out which one makes sense to our customers, which one makes sense to our market. You know, because there's also, now that we're becoming bigger in retail, we probably have tons of customers that don't even know I exist on social media.
Right.
So you have to look at it from that point of view too. So we've also become very data-driven, like getting into the analytics and like who's actually buying our product off the store shelves. Like we have to figure out that, like who doesn't know Dano's for me, like who doesn't watch my videos but using our product. You know, let's figure out those customers. How can we keep building? What we want to do is build a brand block. Like right now you can go to Kroger's or Rouse in California, right? You see two Dano's, original and spicy. Well, that's very easily overlooked.
Right.
When you're looking at this huge shelf and there's just two little bottles of Dano's. Yes, and now are we eye level and perfect location? Yes. But what we want to do is in by 2025, we want to have a block of like 8-10 seasonings to where when you look up there, you see the Dano's and you're like, well, which one do I need today? You know, if you're cooking a steak, well, then you want the Dano's steak, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at with the new development.
The original Dano's can be used on anything. So your original vision was, you know, this should be in every household. You can literally put it on anything, probably not sweets, but anything that
you can.
But anything that, yeah, one time Dan came over and made a Dano's spicy carrot cake.
That's right.
Which actually was pretty good.
Yeah.
The only drawback was my kids, I think, ate it first.
Right.
And they were lit up. You know, they don't do spicy.
Well, spicy.
So, but they thought they were getting dessert first. And yeah, they got lit up by it. So I guess you can use Dano's on sweet foods right now. But that was your original vision.
Mm.
Dano's original. Every household should have it. It's an all-purpose seasoning. Is the new vision that every retail store in the country has a block of Dano's?
Absolutely. And then we're also going to have maybe other products that don't necessarily go into our block, but it's for like the people that follow us on social media. So we can have something that's like totally unique. Like I have this chili pickle seasoning. Well, that might not be the best thing to go into retail because it may not move very well because just how it works in retail, it's a different beast. It's totally different than e-commerce. So, but maybe we launched that online and if we couldn't keep it in stock, well, maybe we do put it into retail. But that's the cool thing about having the whole team is we can be very strategic and also take hey, let's try this. Let's throw it to the wall and see if it sticks. And let's try this new recipe and we'll throw it out to our Dano's Fanos. If it sticks, it sticks. If not, not. We didn't lose anything. We just put a little investment to see if it would work on, you know, amongst our fans.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. Test it in the waters and then double down if it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's applicable in any industry that you're in. Before we get wrapped up, I need to ask, what's the long-term plan with your hair?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Every day, I've done a little trim recently. I took it off the top, and so now it's just a straight skullet. So I know it's a little goofy, and yes, I'm bald on top. I know you saw that. But it's like, man, I kind of, like, started it as a joke, but now, like, it's there, and it's kind of, like, become a thing. It's like, you know, I watch some videos. I'm like, you know what? The mullet looks pretty good on me. But I feel like a little bit of a goofball when I go swimming or something. Like, you know.
go swimming, you wear hats at weddings. It looks great with a hat. It looks great with a hat. Long term, you might need to buzz it or.
Yeah, and here's the thing is when I do buzz it, that'll probably, you'll probably never see the mullet again.
Right.
It'll be like, that was it. That was a phase. You know, it was a 2-year thing. I grew a mullet and it was fun. And now it's gone. You know, I don't know if I'd ever do it again. So I don't know what the plan is. That's probably what keeps me from cutting it. And it's like, I don't know if I ever do it again because right. It took a while to do. And so I don't know what the plan is.
I think you keep it for now. I mean, it makes you recognizable coming from someone with a recognizable head of hair.
Right.
I wouldn't chop it off yet. I'd keep it rolling. And you're past, I was going to say you were past the awkward stage. Like when you're growing out your hair and you hit that in-between stage, well, like you're past that. But then you cut the top, and so now you're kind of back in an awkward stage. But
yeah.
All right, last one for me. This is what's next with Eric Wood. What's next for Dan Oliver, you know, kind of personally and professionally? What do these next few months look like coming out for you?
Well, professionally, you know, I'm very involved in the business. You know, I don't – on our org chart, I'm kind of to the side, like – but I'm involved in everything, if that makes sense. So we're just really focused on, you know, bringing in the right people for marketing and, you know, getting this whole team built out. Because what we want to do is not only own this block and be known for seasoning, but we also want to get into other products. Like once we build this block out, it's not going to be making more seasonings. It's going to be like, how can we do value-added products? We want to take the Dano's, you know, we tried the beef jerky once and we still might go back to that, but how can we take the Dano's flavor and, you know, let's do a partnership with Lay's potato chips. Let's do a partnership with Totino's pizza or something like that. How can we take our product, a product that people know and trust, and give them something more than just the seasoning? Let's do a brand deal with Tyson Foods or something. So where we can put it into products that people are like, oh, it's got Dano's on it. I'm trying that. You know, so
yep.
That's where we really see the future of Dano's going after these next couple of years. We've got to build our block out. And then after that, we're going to start getting into other products. And then you never know, it might be a restaurant or something. You know, I always talk about, I always wanted to own a restaurant. So that might happen one day. I'd say we're a little bit of ways away from it. You know, we don't want to waste our time chasing shiny things because then we're just wasting time. You know, the most valuable thing that we have is our time. And so I guess professionally, that's what I'd say is next with Dano's. Personally, I want to play more golf. I want to get, you know, like I said, that when I started the business in 2015 and 16, like I was super healthy and I want to get back in the gym and get a little bit more healthy. And you know, now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to feel the, you know, past 40 years old. I'm 42 now, so I'm starting to feel the aches and pains. So I want to start, you know, really focusing on taking better care of myself, not just the food that I eat, but, you know, exercising and getting back in shape. And, you know, because I thought I was going to be a quarterback when I was young. I know. It's a good thing that never happened.
I'm thankful personally that you weren't a quarterback. I'm also thankful personally for our friendship and then as business partners. I'm proud of you. I mean, the way people don't understand the way you grind on a day-to-day basis. We played golf together a couple weeks ago in a charity event that Dano sponsored, and we had a great day. But the next day, you're expected to be up and at them.
Yeah.
And there's no days off in this business, especially when you're an entrepreneur, because on a Sunday, there's likely an event. You know, maybe it's traveling back from something on Saturday, but it's nonstop. So I appreciate that, and I'm proud of you. And I'm very excited about the future here.
Me too, brother. Well, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for coming on.
It's awesome.